Welcome to Late Night Net Mums with me, Annie O'Leary, editor of Net Mums.
And me, Carol Jurgensen Sheets, a psychotherapist and certified sex addiction therapist.
Together, we answer your most asked sex and relationship questions from the Net Mums Forum. Welcome to another episode of Late Night Net Mums. How are you and what's been happening in your world this week?
Well, I am doing just fine. And I've just been thinking about our listeners and excited that we can talk with them and help them through the problems. You know, you sent them to me ahead of time. And I've got to tell you, they're so sexual in nature. And that's a difficult topic to talk about. So I am ready to go.
Great. And I think that's the point, isn't it? We're so used to not talking about anything sexual in real life that I think people need somewhere else to turn to. Why are we so bashful in coming forward about sexual things, Carol?
Well, I believe that there's a lot of fear about judgment, that if you bring up issues in your own life that are sexual in nature, people are going to judge you, or they're going to judge your partner, or they're going to judge your relationship. And that causes a lot of fear.
So I guess what we all need to do is A, speak up more, but B, be less judgy of other people so that they feel free to speak up more, right?
You got it. Exactly. And so when there are responses, as there have been, it's so important for them to stay very sensitive to the fact that this is such a huge problem for the couple, and they really should give advice without putting them down. Net moms are so supportive, but they also are very, very opinionated, and they can get very strong about their beliefs.
Yes, I think everybody kind of has an idea of how they want to fix somebody else's life, don't they? I think actually that's a really good point that you've raised, because I'd like to make clear that this podcast isn't about keeping couples together or making anyone split up or telling someone to do something they don't feel comfortable doing. All we're doing is trying to get your perspective, the expert perspective, on some of these situations that we know arise again and again and again in households up and down the country. Isn't that right?
That's exactly right.
Okay, so let's go with today's first question. So someone wrote in and said, I've been married for 10 years and we have a beautiful daughter. I love my husband, but I'm not in love with him anymore. This time last year, I told him that I didn't feel the same and I think I wanted to leave. We sat down for 5 hours and talked everything through and we decided to work on our marriage. Although we tried hard initially, things have just drifted back to how they were. I feel quite trapped at times. My husband works, is a good dad and a good husband, so he hasn't done anything wrong. I just think we've grown differently and I want different things. I've tried speaking to my mother, who divorced my father when I was 5, but to be honest, she hasn't been much help. Everything I have is tied up in my marriage, but I can't stop thinking about leaving. The worst thing is, I know it will break his heart, but I feel so unhappy. Has anyone else been in this situation? Oh, Carol, it's sad. I don't like it.
Yes, I know. She realizes that she's going to break his heart if she decides to separate and divorce. And she's put in some effort and she's wondering what else she can do, because her feelings have extinguished. They just aren't there anymore for him.
Is that normal? Is that a thing that happens to people?
Yes, it does. It happens to a lot of couples, and it is normal. And unfortunately, we live in a society that romanticizes love, and people forget that love oftentimes is a service. It's what you can do for the other person. That dopamine hit that you can get from infatuation and the first 6 months to even 18 months can typically leave. And when that leaves, what do you focus on to feel that connection? That's really the question. She's wanting the connection.
So I guess the in love bit she speaks about is that dopamine hit thing that you were talking about, isn't it? It's that thrill of first love. I guess what we all need to be prepared for if we're in long-term relationships is that won't last forever, and it has to almost be replaced with a different type of love. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, that is exactly what I'm saying. And so obviously they've worked on it, but she needs some additional help. She either needs to go to somebody individually and find out what she's really looking for to see if it's duplicatable, or they need to go to a couples therapist and see if they can increase that connection. That typically means discovering new things together, having fun together, and putting the friendship back in the relationship, and then sexualizing that, really focusing on the attraction that she doesn't feel today, but she can feel tomorrow.
So you mean almost injecting a few more dopamine hits back into it? Is that what we mean?
Yes. And then when you have good emotional maturity, and this is a concept that takes a while to develop, when you have good emotional maturity, you spend time appreciating those things that you care about in your husband. And, you know, she says.
Yeah, she says nice things. She says really nice things about him.
Right. And what you appreciate appreciates. So she's going to have to retrain her brain to not necessarily fall in love with him, but to appreciate those things that are positive on a regular basis so she doesn't feel so deprived. Because you hear in her question that she's longing for that chemical boost. Mm-hmm. And she's probably not going to find that with him or with the next man.
So let's say she goes to see someone, some kind of therapist, or they go to a counselor together. What kind of things would like, if they came to see you, Carol, what kind of things would you be suggesting to help them re-energize and then re-engage a bit?
Well, I would be talking to both of them about what they can do to increase, as you said, and I said, those dopamine hits. Mm. You know, so many people find dopamine in new adventures,
yes,
in travel, in things that stimulate the brain. And if they can do that together, that's one small thing they can do. The second thing I would do is I would have them read The Five Love Languages by Dr. Gary Chapman.
Oh, I don't know about this. What is it? What is it?
Oh, my goodness. It is one of the best marital books in the world because it really defines a marriage as being successful if you give to your partner one of five things. And those things are words of affirmation, physical touch, quality time, acts of service, and let's see, what is that fifth one?
Well, buy the book and find out, I guess.
Well, here's what you can do. You can go to Dr. Gary Chapman's website, which is The Five Love Languages. And both of you should take the test. There's a test on that website. It's free. And you find out what your partner's love language is.
So is that the thing they need most in a relationship? Is that what that means?
Yes. It is what they are interested in getting more of to feel that feeling of love. So then when you find out that it's one of the five love languages, that partner needs to figure out ways to give that. Now, truly, I know you haven't taken the test.
I want to, though, now.
Yes. And if you did, do you think that you want to hear words of affirmation? You want your husband or boyfriend to tell you things that he appreciates and loves about you? He's affirming you. Would it be physical touch? Are you the kind of person that you really get that dopamine hit when he holds your hand or puts his arm around your shoulders?
No, that's not me.
Okay, what about gifts? Some people love those notes, love the flowers, love the jewelry. That's how they feel loved.
No. What else have we got?
We got acts of service, and that's a woman who really appreciates when the husband comes home, takes care of the kids so she can take a warm bath, or comes home and then goes outside and mows the lawn.
Oh, yes, without having to be asked, you mean?
Exactly.
Yes, that's me, Carol. That's my love language.
All right, well, there's one more, and that's quality time. Some people don't feel connected unless they are spending time together, whether that's watching TV or that is going on a vacation.
No, I'm all about the acts of service, I think.
Okay. Well, in my life, my husband does everything for me. I've never even had to clean a toilet bowl.
Oh my goodness.
So I've got this amazing acts of service guy, and I would have thought that would have been his love language since he's so good at giving it to me.
Right.
But when we took the test, here I am a therapist and a coach, and his love language was words of affirmation.
And you didn't know, and you didn't realize.
Not only did I not know, but when I would say kind things to him, he would roll his eyes. He would tease me. He would say, who has possessed my wife? You know, he sent me all sorts of messages that he was uncomfortable with that. But the truth of the matter is, that was how he feels most loved. So that's why it's so important to take the test.
Yes, because someone might not give off the vibe of what they need, but actually it is what they need.
That's right. So I would ask our reader, what does she believe her partner's love language is, and what does she need from him
yes.
so that they can take the test and then work on those skills and see if it can provide more of a dopamine hit and a connection?
Yes, because that's a really good point. I came away from reading this thread thinking, oh God, like he sounds like a really nice guy and she hasn't even really said what it is that she wants. So I think she does need to do a little bit of work on herself, doesn't she, to figure it out? Because he can't really be blamed for not giving her what she wants if she doesn't even know what she wants herself, right?
You got it. You nailed it.
Gosh, it's so complicated, isn't it?
Well, it is so hard when you think that you're going to have that chemical attraction forever. And when it fades, you think it's time to move on. And they're new enough in the relationship. They've been married 10 years, one decade, that they really need to put in the time with a professional so that they can get the help they deserve.
Okay. Right. I think that's all very, very good advice, and advice that I think would apply to lots of different people. So on to our second query of the day. She says, I just really want to hear what others think. If you were seeing a guy for a few months and he tells you he really likes you, etc., talks about the future and stuff with me, and has asked me to come to his good friend's wedding soon, so he makes me believe he likes me as much as I like him. Now, he works 6 days a week and his work involves lots of driving by himself. So he'll phone me sometimes during the day for, say, 20 minutes, or he'll text me in the morning to say, good morning, gorgeous, and I'll reply. But then he doesn't reply for absolutely hours. But, and this is the kicker, Carol, she says, he will always be online on WhatsApp so she can see he's online. He also tells me a few nights a week that he's been helping a mate with things at his place so he can't see me. I don't know what's wrong with me, but it feels to me like he's got another girl or is seeing someone. But when I ask him, he says no and swears on his dad's grave. I haven't said to him, why doesn't he reply for so long to my messages? But I can see he's on WhatsApp constantly. I feel like a stalker. Could someone really be talking on WhatsApp day and night? The other week when we met up, literally as I left to go home, I could see he was straight on there. Oh, help me. I feel like a loon. Oh, Carol, I feel bad for her. Is she being stalky and making up bad scenarios in her head? Or do you think there might be an issue here? And if there is, what do we do about it?
Well, this is a problematic situation because the truth of the matter is she has this gut feeling that he's got other people on the line. He is talking with them and chatting it up, and he's sending her messages that he really cares, but he's not doing it consistently enough, and he's lying. He's saying he has things to do, and then he's spending hours on WhatsApp. So the truth of the matter is she has reason to be suspicious. Now, if she were in my office, I would be encouraging her not to check on that, but to talk to him about what the issues are. Once a woman catches somebody in a lie, they have to confront it. And that does give them grounds to look for more evidence, evidence that their intuition is right. But other than him taking long periods of time to not get back with her, if she weren't looking for that evidence, she wouldn't know that he was on WhatsApp. Now, I got to tell you, Annie, women really feel legitimized when they find information that does not substantiate what he's saying. And so that's when they start digging further. She's right. already in that process. She's going to find more additional evidence to prove that he is not telling her the truth.
Oh, my goodness. Now, the question this raises for me is, how do you know, though, whether what you're feeling is your gut and your intuition and it's something you should listen to, or it's just your mind playing tricks on you and being crazy?
Well, that is such a good question because, of course, we don't know her past. We don't know if she's been betrayed before. If a woman has been betrayed in the past, they go into every new relationship wondering if it's going to happen again, and they start looking for that. But if she hasn't been betrayed before, if she just, again, intuitively knows that these long periods of time that he does not communicate are problematic, she has now found evidence to prove that he is not speaking truth. He's not speaking truth because he says he's hanging out with his buddy at night, and she can see that he is talking to other people. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure what telephone system you use, but the truth of the matter is WhatsApp is really for communication all over the world. My gut says, as does hers, that he absolutely is talking to other women. And, you know, I know that one of the responses to this was, oh, do you think he could be married? Well, that's a slight possibility. The truth of the matter is he's probably playing the field. And you asked, gosh, what could be paranoia versus what could be good intuition? She's already got evidence that her intuition is working, but she needs to handle it honestly. And you saw, Annie, she's afraid to talk to him because she doesn't want him to perceive her as paranoid or a stalker.
Okay, so she's got to talk to him. How does she do it? What does she say?
Well, I believe she needs to come clean. And this is a hard thing for women to do because they don't like that they've had to show up in the relationship and double check the history, if you will. But she's got to say, you know, I've had this gut feeling that there's been something else going on in your life because you have not been consistent enough with me. I would like for you to be more consistent and then see what his response is. What do you mean consistent? Well, I'd like to talk more often during the day. I want you to focus on me at night. I want to be able to see you more often. I think she needs to let him know what her needs are and to see what the response is. If he dances around that, if he says he will and he doesn't, if he actually says, I am not able to give you that, she can say, well, I know that you aren't because I have seen that you're on the app. And I just want to let you know that because my suspicions are in part true. And I want to talk about, what do you want in this relationship? Do you want to see other women? Do you want to, because it's okay if he does. She may not feel it's okay, but if she can bring out the honesty in him, that's what they need in the relationship. If he won't be honest and he won't give her an opportunity to meet more needs, then it's time for her to say goodbye.
Yeah, that's you're right. What it raises for me is we have so many, everyone has a phone in their pocket these days, right? And there's so many ways that each of us on our phones can communicate with a million and one different people at once. Where in a relationship does the boundary lie between privacy for the person who has the phone and honesty once you're in a relationship about who you're messaging, when you're messaging them? Where does the line lie? It's a difficult one, isn't it?
You know what I believe? I believe the more secure a woman is in herself, then the better relationship she's going to have, and she's going to cut her losses if she's with somebody that doesn't meet those needs. Now, I don't know if this woman is overly needy. One of the things I felt was problematic is when she said that she wanted him to call her several times during the day.
Right.
The truth of the matter is many men don't have the time or the need to do that. And so having that phone in your pocket means you expect him and yourself to be accessible at all times of the day or night. And that's not practical.
That's a really good point. Well, A, it might not be practical, but B, it just might not be someone's style. Like, I don't particularly like having to check in with people regularly. I like just getting on and doing my own thing. And then when I'm with someone, being with them. What do you do if you've got differing styles on this? What if one person is really, I want to talk to you once an hour, and the other one's like, no, I'll see you when I get home tonight. How do you resolve that?
Well, I was just thinking about your question as well as what she really wants. If he's not being consistent and he's telling her one thing and he's doing another, then he is not the man for her, despite the fact that he calls her gorgeous, despite the fact that they went to a wedding together, despite the fact that they're talking about the future. He is not walking his talk. She needs to cut her losses now as opposed to do this for 3 more years. A woman with good self-esteem and confidence knows that and doesn't take it as a hit. She is able to say, you know what? This is not what I want in a relationship and I deserve more and he can't give it to me. I'm moving on. That's what needs to happen.
Okay, tough talking there, Carol. I think you're right. And I hope she's listening to this because, yeah, you've got to bite the bullet on these things, don't you?
Well, you need to bite the bullet or you need, again, to talk to a coach or a therapist about what is it in me that would accept substandard behavior. Now, truly, in a counseling session, you may have to identify, are you overly needy? Do you need so much reinforcement that you're special and important that it's actually putting a wedge in the relationship? Mm-hmm. I sense she's a bit needy. That's why she's done her stalking. And I also sense that he is not willing or able to give her what she needs. He's a man that's still in the process of having a lot of opportunities for other things playing out in his own mind.
Yeah, I think you're completely right. Well, that rounds off this episode of Late Night Net Mums. I hope somebody somewhere found the advice helpful and useful. It does give you a lot of food for thought. That's all for this episode. Thanks for joining us. Remember, to get help and support from others like you on sex and relationship issues, please post in the Sex and Relationships board in the Net Mums forum. To submit a question specifically for consideration on this podcast, head to the board marked Late Night Net Mums in the Net Mums forum. Everything said on this podcast is the opinion of the hosts and is for information and education purposes only. This podcast should not be considered as therapy or a substitute thereof. It is strongly recommended that you seek out expert guidance from a mental health or relationships professional to assist you with your own specific issues.